Good morning.
Good morning.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all assembled be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. You know, it's hard to believe that we're already in the second week of Advent. I heard people, I made the comment that, boy, Christmas is just creeping up on us. And someone said, no, it's running up on us, right? Yeah, it's going to be here before we know it. You know, last Sunday we started a series called Christmas ADJ or Christmas Adjective. And the whole idea of this is, yeah, it's certainly important to look at Christmas as that specific day when our Savior was born and to celebrate that day. But really what that day brought to us was the gift of Jesus, who transforms and changes lives. And so as we apply that to different words, different nouns, especially we want to look at the idea of it applying to us. And how can we be those transformed people of God as we live our lives in this world, as we are Christmas people, not just during Advent and Christmas or on Christmas Day, but every single day of the year. And so last week we looked at Christmas cookies. I don't know if anybody made Christmas cookies this last week or not and thought about the message last week, the different shapes and the colors and the sprinkles and all that. But we talked about the whole idea of the reason that people are drawn to Christmas cookies is because of their sweetness, sugar. Yes. And so being Christmas people then, as we tried to apply that hopefully to our lives, we want to be people with some sweetness, some kindness, some gentleness. And I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to share a little sweetness with someone this past week or if a little bit of the bitterness crept out as well. But being Christmas people, we have that sweetness, that sweetness that comes from Jesus. Today we're going to look at Christmas shopping. Now, I'm just not a very good Christmas shopper, I guess I should say. How many of you would consider yourselves pretty good Christmas shoppers? Anybody? I see one or two hands, and it looks like some of the younger kids that are brave enough to raise their hand. Well, all I got to say is, congratulations to your family and friends for being a good Christmas shopper, right? Now, how many of you just maybe consider yourself to be an average Christmas shopper? You know, congratulations to your family and friends too, because you're doing a lot better than a lot of people. How many of you would consider yourself just a horrible Christmas shopper? Oh my goodness, my condolences to your family and friends this Christmas season. But I don't know what it is about Christmas shop. I mean, it's not that I don't like to give gifts, and it's not that I don't like to, I mean, I love to see the response that people have when you give a gift, that their face lights up, at least if you got them what they wanted, right? Their face lights up, and there's nothing better than to see that. But Christmas shopping is just something that, I don't know, it's just hard for me to do. Did anybody go Christmas shopping on Black Friday? One person, a few back there. I tell you what, that just has never appealed to me, because it just doesn't look and sound very appealing to be trampled over by a bunch of people, right? Or to possibly get in the store and get that one item or toy that you really wanted to get someone and to have someone come and snatch it out of your hand. I don't know. I just don't want to fight with that. But if we think about Christmas shopping and this Christmas season, it can really get pretty competitive, right? Not only competitive in the sense of rushing to the store, trying to beat someone to the gift that you really wanted to buy someone, but competitive in the sense of we have sort of this picture-perfect Christmas in mind, and we want to match that. Or maybe our kids go over to someone else's house and see that they have 50 packages under the tree and we only have 4 at our house. And we don't understand why. And so Christmas shopping, gift giving, can become very competitive and we begin to compare ourselves to others. And so in our text for today, in our epistle reading for today, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul really addresses this whole idea of competition and comparing ourselves to each other. In verse 12, he says, "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise." Now, this is kind of a difficult passage, but what Paul is really doing, if we remember when Paul is writing letters to the different churches, and the one in particular here at Corinth, he's addressing specific issues that have come to his attention, so he's writing letters to them to convey his feelings toward that. Well, we get those feelings, why he's writing this, in verse 10. He says, "For some say his letters are weighty." They're talking about Paul. "His letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing." So really, the people here are doing two things. They're comparing themselves with themselves, but they're also comparing themselves with Paul. And Paul's saying, if you're comparing yourself to me, stop it, because I'm not even worth being compared to. And he says, if you're comparing yourself to each other, if you're elevating yourself up so high above everyone else, stop that, because that's not wise. Another word would be to use would be it's foolish for you to be comparing like this, going back and forth. And we have a tendency to do that, right? We have a tendency to compare ourselves with other people. And it's easy to get the edge over someone by just using some sort of excuse or reason why we're better than they are. And so it's easy to begin to compare ourselves. Paul goes on to say in verses 13 to 17, he says, "We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but we'll confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that, as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory. But let him who boasts boast in the Lord." And so this is sort of a long passage here, but really what Paul is getting at and what seems to have happened, these people in Corinth are beginning to compare themselves to Paul in the sense of they're feeling like Paul and the missionaries had come in and kind of taken over their territory. But Paul's saying, no, we were there before. And Paul says, we certainly don't want to take credit for something that we didn't do. But we've been to this area. And if we boast, we are going to boast in who? The Lord. And so this whole idea of a competition and comparing ourselves with each other, Paul uses the word boast several times in this passage. And I think he gives us some proper boundaries for boasting in here. And so we're going to look at kind of three areas about boasting that Paul speaks about here in this passage. And the first one is this: we need to limit our boasting. Now, is there a proper time to boast? When we hear the word boast, it just brings about a negative connotation to it, doesn't it? But Paul's saying boast with limits. He said there are proper limits. We will not boast beyond proper limits. And so there's proper limits to our boasting. And really, if we think about boasting, probably another way to say that would be to encourage or to build up. That's the proper type of boasting. And what Paul is saying here, there needs to be some times when we in the proper sense build each other up and boast. I mean, I can think about some areas in this church that deserve to be commended, that can deserve to be boasted about or built up. I mean, if we think about our Wednesday afternoon program with all of the kids that come up here, I mean, there's a lot of kids that come up here that are not members of this church. It's an outreach. It's a ministry for the community. That's something for us in the right way to be proud of. People need to know that. If we think about our VBS program during the summer, probably one of the biggest ones in Hamilton, not saying that from a look how great we are, but from the standpoint of look what God is doing here in our midst, our preschool. There's all sorts of things that are going on in our church that deserve credit, that deserve to be built up. And they're all being done for God's kingdom, for the sake of spreading the gospel message to God's people. And that's good. But Paul says, limit it. Don't get the big hit. The second area of boasting is we can boast in each other. Boast about others. Do you know anyone that tends to like to boast about themselves? You know, that person that just everything they do is right. They know how to do everything. They're the only one that can do things a certain way and be done right. And they're pretty proud of what they can do. That's not what Paul's saying here. He's saying we boast in others. Have you ever experienced maybe in the church or even in your own family? If you say encouraging words to your family members and build them up, the positive impact that has rather than beating them down and tearing them down all the time? I mean, that building up, that positive boasting about someone and what they're good at, telling them, hey, you did a good job with that. You're good in this area. We appreciate all the work that you do for the church or our family in this particular area. It's incredible the power that boasting, that positive building up can do for a community. Whether it's a community of believers or whether it's a community in your own household. It can have a far-reaching effect. It can change lives. It can turn relationships around. It's just amazing what that positive boasting about others can do. So we want to limit our boasting. We want to boast about others. And third, at the very end of verse 17, we want to boast in the Lord. You know, there's something about comparing and boasting and that competitiveness that we have in us. When we compare ourselves to each other, that there's a problem. And that problem is that if I compare myself to you, both of us are imperfect. And so no matter how I try to compare myself to someone else, I can usually edge out on the top. Because I'm going to find some kind of flaw. I'm going to find some kind of reason that someone else is inadequate compared to me. But there's something that completely destroys comparison and competitiveness. And that's perfection. And Jesus is the only one that was perfect. He's the only one that's lived that will be or will ever be perfect. And you see, when I begin to try to compare myself to perfection that's way up here, I'm always way down here. I don't have a chance in the world. And so that's the whole reason that Paul concludes with verse 18, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. You see, if I boast about myself, if I try to commend myself, that doesn't work because I'm always down here. But if the Lord commends me, this is what's powerful. If the Lord commends me, guess what the Lord did? Guess what Jesus did? He gave me His perfection. He gives you His perfection. And no longer are we imperfect. When Jesus came into the world that first Christmas and lived and then died on the cross, was placed in the tomb and was raised to life, He exchanged our imperfection for His perfection, making us perfect, making us righteous, making us just, whatever word you want to use, before God. And no longer are we imperfect. We're forgiven. We've been given the perfection that God had in His Son, Jesus. And now we can boast. We boast in what the Lord has done for us. We can boast about what the work that God has done in our lives. We can boast about the work that He does in our church. We can build each other up. Not because we're such great people, but because God made us perfect people through His Son. That's what we boast in. We boast in the Lord. We boast in the work that God has done in our lives through His Son, Jesus. And we boast. We build each other up so that more people will come to know who He is. Christmas shopping can certainly be competitive. Man, it can make you almost as crazy as road rage, right? If you're not careful. And so as we're Christmas shopping this Christmas season, I pray that we can think back to this message and remember that Christmas shopping can remind us to be competitive in the right way. To compare ourselves in the right way, so that we can show others who Jesus is, so that we can boast in others, and so that we can maybe have even a little competition to see who can say the best things about more people than anyone else. Now, don't get carried away with that, but in the sense of, you know, just building each other up, encouraging each other during this season. I mean, there's a lot of people that need encouragement. There's a lot of people who go through difficult times that need that building up. And we can be those people. Christmas people who are an encouragement to others. Amen. We pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. Lord, we ask that as we continue to go through this Advent season and this Christmas season, that You would turn our hearts to You. Lord, that we're mindful of all the things that You've done for us, the forgiveness You bring us, the promise of eternal life, and Lord, that perfection that You give us through Your Son. Lord, we ask that You would continue to walk with us through this season. Lord, that we can be that encouragement for people who are struggling, people who need guidance in the world, that we can be a Christmas people as we share that sweetness of Your message, as we build each other up. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.